It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Joyce Russell. I'm live here at the Law Library at the Iowa State Capitol. And we're going to have a conversation this hour on workers' comp and some proposed changes in Iowa's workers' comp laws. The number to call if you want to join the conversation today is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, message us on Facebook, or email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Our guests here in the Law Library today are Senator Nate Bolton of Des Moines, a Democrat from Des Moines. Hello, Senator Bolton.
Hello, good to be here.
And Representative Andy McKean, a Republican from Anamosa. Welcome, Representative McKean. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here, too.
Okay. But we're going to go first to a disabled truck driver from Sioux City. His name is Richard Lesline. First, let me just briefly describe the bill that is under consideration. It has already passed the House, but only after being scaled back significantly. It makes some significant changes in Iowa's workers' comp law. It's been extremely controversial and very partisan, with business groups backing it and Democrats to a person opposing it, saying it's unfair to workers. The business groups say that the system, the workers' compensation system, has gotten out of whack and favors workers and their attorneys too much. So those are basically the issues. We're going to hear a personal workers' comp story first from Mr. Lesline. Mr. Lesline, thank you for joining us for River to River today.
Yes, my pleasure.
Okay. Mr. Lesline, why don't you start just telling us your story, the work that you did for a trucking company and the shoulder surgeries that you suffered there.
I've worked 28 years for a major LTL freight company, and I backed in a trailer to unhook it from the tractor, and when I got up on top the walk platform on the back of the tractor, I grabbed the safety handle to get back down, and the handle broke, and I landed on my shoulder, resulting in a rotator surgery, and I was put back to work, I feel, sooner than it would take to normally heal. The company doctor put me back to work probably within, like, not even 2 months, and with no therapy. He decided he didn't think I needed therapy, that I was as good as new, which I knew it wasn't still quite the same, but they forced me back to work, and probably 3 months later, it re-tore, and I was back off again for about 7 months, but in order to get that attention, it took me probably 8 months of fighting to get back to see another company doctor, and I resulted in another rotator surgery, which at the end of that surgery, it was determined that it was not healed all the way, and it probably never would, and that's the way I am now, with a daily pain, no sleep at night. I lay on that arm, and it goes numb, and I roll to the other one, and it's been injured too, and it goes numb. So many, many nights of very little sleep.
And you said company doctor. In both of those instances, did you get to choose your doctor, or did your employer assign a doctor?
No, I was assigned a doctor. In Iowa, you have to go to the doctor that they choose.
Okay, well, are you considered permanently disabled?
Yes, I have a weight restriction and a reach restriction.
Okay, and so tell us about what you went through to get compensated.
Probably 2 years or more of battling to get compensated, weeks of no pay, waiting for them to figure out what they were going to do with me. I put in probably over 200 applications trying to find a different job. I had three interviews, and those interviews resulted in, as soon as they knew you had had a prior injury And at my age, I'm 64 at the time, I was probably 60, and nobody wanted anything to do with you for fear that you would file another claim against them. So I ended up taking my pension, which I was decreased 40%, 42% actually on my pension because I wasn't at the right age, which will result in probably hundreds of thousands of dollars of decreased benefits from my pension because of this.
And so in the meantime, until you, and I know you did get a settlement, you can't talk about the terms of the settlement, but between the, before you finally got the settlement, how did that affect your family? I mean, financial hardship significant?
Yes, because I was making less, getting less compensated, really less than what I would have been if I was working. Not knowing whether you're going to get a check that week, or sometimes I would go 6 weeks without a check. I don't know why they would hold it up like that. And just a lot of stress on your family, you know, not being able to do the things you would do if you were normally working. If I could go back to that day, I surely heck would. If I could known that was going to happen, I sure would have avoided it. But that safety handle was there for my protection, and it failed me. And that's where I ended up, is a lot of hardship, a lot of economic and mental stress on my family, and especially my wife and kids not being able to do the things I want to. And I have given up a lot of the activities I used to do for pleasure now because I'm not able to do all that.
Well, without telling us the terms of your settlement, walk us through how you did finally get a settlement.
By going to an attorney, a work comp attorney, and fighting a lot of interviews, court proceedings, several court proceedings, and eventually winning a settlement for being permanently disabled.
So what have you given up in your personal life?
I used to like to bow hunt. I can't do that anymore. A lot of the things I used to enjoy doing, working several things around the house, I can't do that anymore. I have an old classic car I used to work on. In fact, I sold that because I'm not able to dink around with that anymore. So a lot of personal things.
Well, I'm glad that you at least got some compensation in the end. I guess you're aware that one of the things that this legislation would have done would have treated shoulder injuries differently. So I don't know if you've been following this. It's possible, and we'll talk with our guests about this, it's possible that had this law been in effect, you might not have been able to get the settlement that you got. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Yes, I have been following it, and I probably would have ended up with compensated for probably a year, or if not less than a year, of compensation for something I have to live with for the rest of my life.
Okay. Well, Mr. Lesline, we're going to let you go now. You were very kind to share your personal story with us, and we wish you well.
I just want to say one more thing that,
okay,
you know, if they have a machine and it breaks, they fix it. When a person gets injured, they try and fix you, and they may, if carpal tunnel surgery, yeah, you can go right back to work, something like that. If the machine breaks, they throw it away, and I feel like that's what they're doing with us human beings, is just, if it can't be fixed, throw you away and get another one.
Well, I'm sorry for the injury that you suffered, and I hope things go well for you now, and we thank you for joining the show with us today.
My pleasure, and I hope things turn out for the best for injured workers and the state of Iowa, so the taxpayer doesn't pick up the tab.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Lesline. We were talking with Richard Lesline, a disabled truck driver from Sioux City. We're talking about workers' compensation this hour and legislation to change the law that governs how injured workers get compensated. So the legislation kind of came up. Some people were surprised by the legislation. When it was first offered, it was designed to go into effect immediately. Once it's passed, that has been scaled back. But we're going to talk to our legislators about it now. Representative McKean, what had you been hearing about problems with the workers' compensation system before the session got underway today?
Well, during the campaign, I went door to door quite a bit, and I heard from both workers who felt that the system wasn't fair to them, and I also heard from employers who were concerned about increased a cost that they'd been experiencing in recent years. And it certainly wasn't one of the top issues that I heard about, but it was something that I was aware of. And in my previous service in the legislature, every year or two, we would be taking a look at workers' comp legislation and tweaking the system to some degree to make it a good, well-balanced system. And I was anticipating that we might be doing that again this year, but the bill that was presented to us, I felt, was not tweaking whatsoever, but I think it was a rather draconian bill in its original form that would have sent the pendulum swinging far, far too much in one direction. Mm-hmm. And one of the areas that concerned me particularly was the how shoulders were treated. Traditionally, they've been considered a whole-body injury, and the bill, as it was originally presented to us, would have made it a scheduled injury, and it would have only been, I think, 250 weeks, or 200 weeks was the original figure, which I thought was woefully inadequate.
What does that term, scheduled injury, mean?
Well, a lot of the injuries that occur, like to a hand injury or a leg injury or a arm injury, there's a certain amount that has been determined as the reasonable compensation for that injury. And the shoulder has not been included in that approach because the shoulder injury, as Mr. Lesline described to us so effectively, that those injuries can be extremely catastrophic.
And do you think it's fair to say that those who are backing this bill came forward with a request for the bill, the business groups and so on? Is it fair to say they probably thought they had a better chance this year with a Republican-controlled legislature?
I think that would be a reasonable conclusion.
Okay. Senator Nate Bolton, a Democrat from Des Moines, what had you been hearing about problems with the workers' comp system before the session began?
Well, I've heard more problems along the lines of what Mr. Lesline was sharing with us. It's far from a rigged system for injured workers as they go through it. Any injured worker will tell you they'd much rather not go through the system than have to be in a position where they have to count on this to get by. And in terms of my own personal campaign, I certainly was out there talking about increasing workplace protections and increasing quality of life for working families. So this is quite opposite of what I had envisioned.
And you weren't hearing from the same business interests that Representative McKean said he heard from?
Certainly business interests have wanted to reform the workers' compensation system for some time, though I would also say that the interest of all players in the workers' compensation system, all stakeholders, would be a stable system, one that we have predictability and outcomes, so you don't see dramatic increases in premiums because of political uncertainty. And I would think most insurance companies would say, rather than having, as Representative McKean said, a swinging pendulum on based on who's in control at the Capitol, a predictable system where workers can count on benefits and insurance companies can assess risk.
Representative McKean, as you heard Mr. Lesline's story, does it sound, without knowing all the details, does it sound like that should have been able to be resolved without going to court?
Well, I would have hoped so. And I think that the whole thrust and philosophy behind the workers' comp legislation was to provide predictability, provide reasonable compensation for people who are injured, and help them get back to work as reasonably as possible. And clearly, with Mr. Lesline's case, that was not how folks want the system to work. And I'm disturbed to hear that story. And I would have hoped that some of the problems that he experienced could have been avoided.
Is there anything in this legislation that will make that any different?
Well, I'm not sure if the legislation would have direct impact on his particular situation. I think one thing that he wasn't presented when we spoke or heard from him over the phone was the opportunity to get a second doctor's opinion. And I don't know whether he did that or not, but in many cases that is done, and sometimes that can result in a different approach and a different outcome.
And so the law allows that would just be an individual employer's decision on whether to let an employee get a second opinion.
No, that's the right that the employee has to go get a second opinion, and it's often a very wise thing to do, because quite frankly, I'm not saying that the original doctors are necessarily in the pocket of the employer, but the employer does get to pick the original doctor. And I think if an employee is not satisfied with the outcome of that original diagnosis, it makes good sense to get a second opinion.
If you're an injured worker and have a story to share with us, we would welcome your call to River today. The number is 866-780-9100. Senator Bolton, what are your main concerns? What do you find most troubling about this bill? I assume you're familiar with the version that it passed the House that took the shoulder stuff out and some other changes. What are you most concerned about with this bill?
Certainly, the very approach that was taken is concerning. This was a dramatic change to workers' compensation law that was really a one-sided bill from one side of the equation. We have organizations in Iowa that are designed to bring all those stakeholders together, and that process was skipped in favor of kind of a wish list of insurance corporations and businesses across the state. That's not good for our system. In terms of the things that this legislation specifically does, Mr. Lesline, his situation is still going to be worse if his injury were to have happened after this bill would become law. Suitable work is a big deal in workers' compensation. When am I able to return to my job or an accommodated job in that recovery process? This legislation makes it a very one-sided process in determining what a worker is going to be required to do in order to stay employed or stay on workers' compensation benefits in terms of returning to work. The employer's motivation is, of course, to get that worker back into the factory or back into the truck early in the process. It's not always the best thing for the worker. And if a worker is rushed too soon to a production line or into a truck, you can see things like we heard in this case of a re-injury happening. And that's certainly not what anybody wants to see. The second thing is the shoulder damages weren't entirely fixed. The original bill was a lot worse for shoulders, but we certainly didn't just go back to the current state of the law where if I suffer a shoulder injury, I have the right to go before a judge and have it determined if I have a loss of earning capacity or not. And if I do have a loss of earning capacity from that injury, to be fairly compensated for my loss in wages.
Representative McKean, this re-injury issue that Senator Bolton is talking about, getting workers back to work too fast, is that something that industry had sought, and is there some abuse going on there that this was meant to address?
Well, you know, one thing I think I need to say is that most employers, the vast majority of employers, want to treat their employees well, and they want them to be adequately compensated for their injuries, and they want them to get back to work at a reasonable time. The shoulder issue was one that among several other issues that I was extremely concerned about when I saw the bill in its original form. And I think Senator Bolton's comment that the bill is a drastic change was certainly true when the original bill came out. And a number of us in the Republican caucus worked very strenuously to make some very significant changes in that bill. And as Senator Bolton may or may not know, I don't know how long you've been in the legislature.
This is my first term.
Okay. Well, you'll have the experience probably sometime in your career to have to go against the majority of your caucus on an issue. And I can tell you, it's not an easy situation. And but a number of us felt very strongly that there were a number of issues in this bill as it was originally submitted that were of great concern, the shoulder being one of them. And another one that was extremely uncomfortable for many of us was the predominant factor language that would have had a devastating impact on people who had pre-existing conditions. And then a third area that was of considerable concern was the age 67 requirement that would have been, in my opinion, discriminatory toward our older employees. So we worked very, very hard to, I guess, lobby within our own caucus to make some changes in the bill. And after considerable discussion, the decision was made that, you know, you have to have 51 votes to pass a bill, and if they didn't have the 51 votes, I think they were willing to make some compromises.
And no Democratic votes went up on this one, I think.
Interestingly enough, when we debated the amendment on the floor, I expected, quite frankly, that we'd have 100 votes for it, because it was such a significant improvement over the original bill. But as it turned out, 31 of the 39 Democrats still voted against the amendment that would have improved the bill, which I found a little bit surprising.
Well, we're going to take a break now. We'll hear some news and then come back. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Joyce Russell. We're live at the Law Library at the State Capitol. We're talking about legislation to reform Iowa's workers' compensation system this hour. If you have a question or a comment for us, give us a call at 866-780-9100. We're going to go now to a pre-recorded conversation that was recorded earlier today. We talked with Debbie Berkowitz. She is a research fellow at the National Employment Law Project. We talked to her about the history of why the workers' compensation system exists. Producer Lindsay Moon started by asking her when and why the workers' compensation system was created.
Medical bills and lost time from a work-related injury can have an enormous burden on workers and their families. You know, losing a family member to a work-related death can also have a devastating consequence to a family's financial security. So that's why, over almost 100 years ago, the American Workers' Compensation System was created. It was created at the turn of the last century. The basic principle of workers' compensation, and it's often called the grand bargain, is that employers assume responsibility for providing insurance that pays out certain benefits for workers injured on the job without regard to fault, and in return, workers gave up their right to sue employers for injuries. So in return, employers are protected from personal injury or other liability for workplace injuries or illnesses.
In Iowa, there is legislation that has passed the House of Representatives and is now being considered by the Senate to make changes to Iowa's workers' compensation laws. Can you put Iowa in context for me? Is the state an outlier for reviewing these laws?
So one thing I think the audience has to understand is that workers' comp is a social insurance program that is operated in every state. There are no federal minimum standards like there are for Social Security or unemployment insurance. There is no federal oversight. So let's look just at Iowa. In Iowa, they are, over the past 30 years, and Iowa was part of this, workers' comp programs around the country have been engaged in a sort of race to the bottom as employers push to reduce their responsibility to pay for work-related injuries. In fact, a report just last year found that since 2003, 33 states have passed workers' comp laws that reduce benefits or make it more difficult for those with injuries, you know, to be provided adequate compensation. Now, Iowa, about 10 years ago, went through its first round of weakening the law, where they increased the criteria so that many claims of serious work-related injuries that may previously have been approved were no longer covered. And what you see now with this new legislation is the bulk of it is making further cuts to workers' compensation insurance. And so what you see is a general trend of that workers' comp is no longer really covering the cost of work-related injuries, and that's what it was set up to do. In fact, studies have shown that workers' comp now only covers about 20% of the cost of work-related injuries and illnesses. And work-related injuries and illnesses cost the economy about $198 billion a year. Over 3 million workers get seriously injured every year. 4,800 are killed on the job nationwide. And what you see is instead workers pick up most of the costs. They put it on their own health insurance, or if they don't have health insurance or they have limited health insurance, then they fall on, you know, the taxpayer and the sort of social safety net.
These laws were originally passed in the early 1900s. Our healthcare system has changed in a pretty substantial way since then. The type of work that people are doing has also changed since then. Do you think that it's maybe necessary every decade or so to review these laws?
So, as I said, 3 million workers suffer a serious work-related injury every year. Since 1970, when the Occupational Safety and Health Administration was created, the number of work-related deaths and injuries have gone way down. But the premise is basically the same, and that is employers have to provide a safe workplace. And these injuries are caused by unsafe conditions. You know, a lot of the companies that are pushing for this bill, like Tyson's Food, meatpacking and poultry are some of the most dangerous industries in the country. In fact, Tyson Foods has the fourth largest number of reported work-related amputations of any company reporting to the federal government. And so, you know, there are a lot of work-related injuries. So really, if companies wanted to reduce costs, it would be prevent the injuries. But the other thing I just want to tell you is that it's not like there's been a huge increase in costs from in Iowa that's causing this. I mean, since 1998, premiums have declined 33% in Iowa. Just last year, Iowa workers' comp premiums for employers decreased by 4.7%. And you can always point to one or two workers, maybe in the thousands that use the system, that maybe it was abused. But what about all those other workers that don't even apply for comp, that don't even get workers' comp? Because people are scared to apply to workers' comp because they're scared that they would get fired. And the protections for that are fairly weak.
Okay, we just heard from Debbie Berkowitz, who's a research fellow at the National Employment Law Project, talking to us a little bit about the history of workers' compensation programs and what they were designed to do and how they're sometimes falling short now. Andy McKean, what's your response to what she was saying about potential abuse in the system or or claims that it's being overutilized when it really isn't?
Well, no, I would say, on just off the top of my head, that her comments about the cost of insurance for employers, I think there's some mixed message there. I think perhaps overall there have been some, it's been steady in many respects, but there have been many small employers that I've heard from who have seen very, very significant increases in the premiums they're paying. And they would rather be using that money to hire more employees or to be able to pay employees a better wage. So I think we can't just ignore the costs that businesses are experiencing around the state.
And Senator Bolton, what's your response to what she was saying about the meatpacking industry in particular?
Well, first I want to talk about the idea of that premiums are out of control or out of line. Again, the statistics don't really bear that out, but if there are small employers or people that are seeing extreme fluctuations, rather than coming through with a dramatic change in the whole work comp system, why don't we actually do a study, figure out what's causing these inconsistencies, and try to address that rather than limiting recoveries for injured workers who are counting on these benefits? And then to the issue in the meatpacking industry, I mean, the reality is if you work in a meatpacking position for any length of time, you are statistically guaranteed to have a work injury. You're going to get hurt in that line of work. It's a lot of repetitive motion. It's a lot of dangerous equipment. It's just a dangerous environment. And when we see claims in the meatpacking industry in particular, we see people who are truly disadvantaged. It's a line of work that is a very hard work. It's a difficult job to take. It involves a high risk of injury. And when that risk of injury is realized, you're going to suffer a major loss to your earning capacity. This system needs to be there, functioning as it is now, to be able to have those workers not slip through the cracks and get the benefits that they deserve.
But Iowa, I would argue, still has some of the best benefits in the country in our workers' comp system. And I don't believe that with the changes that were made in the House that this bill represents a drastic change to the system. I think it's still, for the most part, a reasonably well-balanced system and one that Iowans can be proud of.
I'd like to take a minute to indicate some of the groups that we did invite to join the show today but were unable to do so. We, as the Association of Business and Industry and the Iowa League of Cities, both of whom lobbied for the bill. Also, Senator Breitbart, the manager of the bill in the Senate, was unable to join us. The Republican manager in the Senate was unable to join us today. Is Iowa part of this so-called race to the bottom then, Representative McKean?
No, I don't think it's there's a race to the bottom. But I think we do need to be concerned about being relatively competitive with other states because, one of the realities we have to live with is that in order to have jobs for people in Iowa, we have to attract businesses to our state. And one of the factors that businesses consider is the cost of workers' compensation insurance. So that is a factor that needs to be looked at. And, so I think there are some people out there who have the notion that anything that's good for business is somehow bad for working people, and that's not necessarily the case. The important thing, in my opinion, is to have a balance, a fair balance. And that's why I was very concerned with the bill in its original form, because I didn't think it was a fair balance. But I think with the changes that we've made, it's much fairer than it was before, and I'm hoping that the Senate might consider some further modifications that I think would make the bill even more balanced.
Okay, we're going to go to a caller joining us. Lori is on the line from Audubon. Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Do you have a question or a comment for us? You're live on River to River.
Well, I was just listening to the program and a new listener, and the topic came up of the workman's comp, and I thought, well, I just mainly had a question, but I'll start out. I got injured this last summer at my job, and it was my right foot, and hurt it, and so then started going to the my regular doctor, my primary doctor, and then went to some therapy for, I don't know, maybe 8 times for it. Well, then they set me up with an ortho doctor, and then I saw him 3 times. Then he decided he didn't know what to do, so then he set me up with a foot doctor, and so started going to him. And then he decided, and all through this time I had severe pain and my foot was and leg was swollen. And so he set me up to get a brace made that went up to my knee and special shoes. So I started wearing those. And this whole time while I'm going through this, and this is now into late October, November, and my boss never said anything about workman's comp back to me or anything, and I didn't know what he was doing, you know, as far as going through with something or whatever he needed to do. But so anyway, then I had been wearing this brace and shoe, and so then it was putting pressure on the bottom of my foot, on this right foot. And so then a couple days later, I went getting ready for work, and, of course, it had pressured so much I had an ulcer going full blast. So now I'm, like, asking my boss, I need to know, do you have a number? Do you have an insurance for me? What am I supposed to be doing? Because I really didn't know. So he wrote down a number on a piece of paper and an insurance name. So I tried to start calling up and looking up for help, and they had no recollection. He had nothing. He had no workman's comp. I called them in Des Moines, nothing. There was nothing there, nothing with his name on it or the business. So now I'm still going to the doctor. I've been off for 2 months with this ulcer in my foot, and I was just wondering, was he supposed to have workman's comp? I guess would be my question, or where am I at now? What, do I need to get a workman's comp attorney?
Senator Bolton?
Yes, he was supposed to have workers' compensation insurance coverage. If you have an employee in Iowa, it's actually a crime not to have workers' compensation insurance. So, yes, he should have that coverage. If he does not have that coverage, you have two options. You can bring a claim against your employer directly in workers' compensation, or you can actually file a personal injury lawsuit in district court, and negligence is presumed to have occurred in that setting. So there are options.
Just the mere fact that he didn't have workers' comp insurance, that would be a sign of negligence.
Basically, we treat it as you don't get the benefits of the limited recovery system and workers' compensation if you didn't hold up your end of the bargain.
And also, if you did have workers' compensation insurance, the employer would have had an obligation to have told the employee that she had certain options to be pursuing at that point. And apparently that wasn't done, and I think that's a very serious situation.
Senator Bolton, you work in this arena. How common is a complaint like that? Is that just a really bad actor who didn't even have the workers' comp?
No, unfortunately, it's not that uncommon. Usually we see situations like this go hand-in-hand with employee misclassification, where someone is labeled as an independent contractor when they truly are an employee.
Oh, okay.
So it's a way some bad acting employers try to lower their cost of business and, in my opinion, unfairly compete against the good acting employers.
I'd like for one of you to help clarify for me what we heard in the interview. The think tank gal told us that the whole point of the system was workers provide this insurance, and so then workers can't sue them. And yet there are all these labor lawsuits going on. So can you explain that?
So, yeah, the general idea is that rather than having individual personal injury lawsuits for every workplace injury and really burdening our court system and making fairly expensive litigation out of every time someone's injured at work, we've created this kind of structured benefit system where we're going to take fault out of the equation. We're going to say if you were injured through the course of your employment or your employment activities, the employer is going to be responsible for covering those injuries. And usually they'll have an insurance company to guard against that risk of injury so that they're not paying out of pocket for things. But the trade-off on both sides is the limited recovery means for the employee, they're not going to get pain and suffering damages. They're not going to get other damages that would come out of a personal injury case in a district court case. But they're hopefully going to see their benefits administered more quickly. So rather than being out there waiting for a court recovery to happen, we've created this duty of care for the employer and insurance company to pay benefits on time when they're due, authorize care promptly, and that's what the system is designed to do in its functions.
And I think it's important to note that we have many, many injuries in Iowa, and very, very few end up going into litigation, which I think is shows that for the most part we have responsible employers out there who are doing what needs to be done and helping the workers get the adequate compensation they need and then helping them get back to work at an appropriate time, which is the whole purpose of the system.
We have an email from a listener. Jim says, I heard that this workers' comp bill was pushed out of committee in 48 hours. It seems to me that this denies members of the legislature from giving bills a full debate. Representative McKean, is that a fair criticism?
I think that's a little unfair. The bill went through a process of being developed, and then it was presented to our caucus. We had a chance to look at it. Then it went on to a subcommittee, and the subcommittee considered it and passed it. Then it went on to full committee. And then there was a lot of discussion after it came out of committee, before it came on the floor for debate. It was significantly changed, which I think shows that the legislature can be responsive to concerns that have been raised. And now it's over in the Senate where it's going through the same process. I do feel, though, however, that it, in the interests of really good legislation, I think it's very valuable to have all the stakeholders sit down together and to try to discuss their concerns and their differences and come up with some common ground that makes sense, particularly when you have a system like this, which you want to have a well-balanced system. That's part of the beauty of it and one of the things that makes it work so well. So I think the process wasn't quite as unfortunate as the email indicated, but I think it could have been improved upon.
What about the earlier collective bargaining legislation, which a lot of people had the same complaint about that? Is that a legitimate criticism?
You're going to get me in trouble with it. I voted against that particular bill because for the very reason that, again, I thought the pendulum was swinging much too far in one direction. And we were unable to make changes in the bill that I thought would have made it a more balanced approach. And for that reason, I voted against the bill. And I was glad to see that in this particular case, while the workers' comp bill could still be improved upon, I feel that we went a long way in making it more balanced than the original legislation.
Well, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you both for joining us today. Workers' compensation now heads to the Iowa Senate. Senator Bolton, very briefly, what are you hoping will get changed in it?
Well, we've seen some dramatic improvements, and I credit Representative McKean for the progress that's been made so far. But I'm really hopeful that we can continue to make this a much more balanced bill rather than the one-sided proposal that it is that really will hurt working Iowans.
Okay. Well, thank you both for joining us today. We have with us Representative Andy McKean, a Republican from Anamosa, and Senator Nate Bolton, a Democrat from Des Moines. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thanks.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We had production assistance today from Dennis Reese and John Pimble. Podcasting and on-demand audio of River to River are available at iowapublicradio.org. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Contact us at any time at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Theme music composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Joyce Russell. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.